Good morning. It's 17 minutes before 10 o'clock. You're listening to KFFR Community Radio. I'm Steve Skinner here with Stacey Stein. Hi, Stacey.
Good morning.
We have been joined this morning on the telephone by Deb Ruttenberg. She is the Human Services Director for Grand and Jackson Counties. Been wanting to get her on for a while, and here she is this morning. Good morning on this beautiful day, Deb. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Excellent. So nice to have you on. How are things going for you in these challenging times, let's call it?
We are very busy. We are very busy at Human Services these days.
What's taking up the majority of your workload right now, Deb? Is it just transferring to working online, or is it providing food assistance? What is the most important thing you're doing, and what's taking up most of your time?
I don't want to say what's the most important, because everything we do here at our office is very important. However, I would say that right this second, the greatest increase in our workload has to do with people applying for different types of benefits, mostly food assistance. We've had a huge increase. We've basically doubled our caseload in the last 6 weeks. Since the stay-at-home orders and the county being closed on, I believe it was March 16th, we've literally doubled our caseload.
Wow. Hopefully you were prepared for that. Give our listeners a little outline of what is provided by Health and Human Services.
Okay.
I'm sorry, not Health and Human Services, but Human Services.
Human Services. So we have a variety of different things that we do. We run benefits program applications. And so the programs are not our programs, they're state programs that we provide the opportunity for people to apply for these programs, such as food assistance, Medicaid, of which there are 44 different programs within Medicaid. We run the Colorado Works, or TANF. TANF stands for Temporary Assistance for Needy Families. Those are our three main benefits programs we provide access to. We also provide child protective services and adult protective services. We help administer the Colorado Child Care Assistance Program, and we help people get hooked up with child support services. So those are the main things that we do here at Human Services.
That is a very broad spectrum of services that you're applying assistance for. Mm-hmm. How many staff are you working with?
There are 17 of us.
That is significant. Talk about applying for, let's just say, for starters, food assistance, and since it seems to be one of the things that's on top of your list, what is the process like for someone from Grand or Jackson County that wants to apply for that assistance?
So right now, it looks a little different than it did pre-COVID days. So right now, we are all working remotely, and the state has put up some different guidelines for us and rules that are different than pre-COVID days. So what it would look like right now is that the most efficient way for someone to apply would be to go to the Grand County website. You can go to the Jackson County website too, but there's more information on the Grand County website. And that website is co.grand.co.us. You'd find the Human Services page on that. And there are links to what's called the PEAK website. That's the state website. And there are links to that, and you can apply online through PEAK. So that is literally the most efficient way. Otherwise, people could call and leave a message for us. That's certainly not the fastest way. Or they can email us, and you can find the email again on that county website. Our phone number, in case someone does want to call, is 970-725-3331. However, we don't have someone answering the phone all day, every day. Someone would have to leave a message and someone could get back to them. And then we can snail mail someone an application if that's what is something that they would rather do. And then they can always mail it back to us. Someone checks the mail every day. So that's the main way.
Sometimes those web portals are challenging, and especially, for older folks or, very, very busy people. Are you finding yourself assisting people getting those applications correct? Once they start, they get lost, or how simple is it?
It's not wonderfully simple. I wish it was, Steve. The state website, it can be a little bit convoluted, but if someone is having problems, they can definitely give us a call, or like I said, shoot us an email, and we have staff that could potentially walk them through. The other people I want to say who are available to help, because we have county partners, community-based nonprofits that help with food assistance applications specifically for folks like that who are struggling. And Mountain Family Center is one of those places, and they can do over-the-phone support for folks, as well as the Grand County Rural Health Network. They both have grants through Hunger Free Colorado to help us help our community with those food assistance applications. So, and those phone numbers, and you can go to mountainfamilycenter.org or Grand County Rural Health Network.org and find information.
Talking to Deb Rittenberg from Human Services for Grand and Jackson County. Deb, talk about, is there assistance available for people who have had employer insurance but now no longer have a job and they need some kind of protection in the insurance department?
Well, people can always apply for Medicaid. And it's the same as it has been in the past with that. If someone applies for Medicaid and they don't qualify for Medicaid, it is possible that they can get something on the exchange through Connect for Health. And so and in the past, as now, someone has to actually be denied from Medicaid in order to get onto the insurance exchange Connect for Health. So there are possibilities for folks who have income changes that now and have lost their job and could potentially be approved for Medicaid.
Talk about your involvement with child protection and people protection. Mm-hmm. What does that look like with your department, Deb?
So child protection services, we basically provide services to protect children whose physical, mental, or emotional well-being is threatened by the actions or omissions of parents or legal guardians, custodians. And so basically, if someone has concerns about whether or not a child is potentially being abused or neglected, the process for notifying us, unless the child is in imminent danger, if someone is actually witnessing something that is a life-threatening situation for a child, or an adult, you would call 911. Otherwise, someone would call the hotline that we use through the state. And I'm going to give that phone number too. It's 1-844-264-5437. Otherwise, 1-844-CO, the number 4-KIDS. 1-844-CO-4-KIDS. And someone would call that hotline, and they would, there's a few prompts before you talk to an actual person, and then they would actually talk to a person and then provide that intake person with the information that they have. That person would ask a variety of questions, and then we would get that report. And then we have to make decisions based on that report of whether or not we can screen that in and respond in that way, or screen it out. And then we take that information and keep that information as well. So those are the basic kind of protection services we do for children. Adult protection services look very much the same. We are still using that hotline, and if someone has concerns about whether or not an adult, an at-risk adult, which is someone who is 18 or older, who's unable to provide for services necessary for their health, safety, or welfare, or who lack the capacity to make or understand responsible decisions, if someone has concerns about an at-risk adult, they would call that hotline, and then we would investigate allegations of physical or sexual abuse, caretaker neglect, and exploitation, and or self-neglect of at-risk adults. So those are the two things. And the way we respond is a little bit different right now, because over this period of time with COVID, we've had to be a little more careful, particularly with those at-risk adults. They've changed some of the rules around that so that we are not going into facilities in Grand County that would be like Cliffview. We are not actually physically going into the facility because we don't want to put at-risk adults further at risk. So we would do something over the phone and things like that. But for child protection, it's very much the same unless we have direct knowledge that someone has COVID-19, and then our response would be a little bit different. Otherwise, we just continue to try to protect both the person in that household as well as our staff.
Deb, what you're describing is extremely delicate, and I'm very curious about in our rural communities, we don't have that many people. A lot of people, like, I never think about these kinds of things, but have you noticed an increase in phone calls? What has changed besides your protocols for going in? Has anything changed from your perspective on the calls that you're getting?
Actually, statewide, hotline calls are down about 50% right now. That's not unusual because so many of our reports come from mandatory reporters such as teachers in the education system. And since kids are out of school right now, it's just like in the summer when our calls to our hotline go down. It's similar right now. Calls to the hotline are going down because people are isolating, you know, and by public health order, we're isolating on purpose. But it also, we are a little concerned that on the back end of all of this, when kids start being seen more, we might have more of an influx of calls at that point. Right now, we don't. What we've been trying to do is put out information on a variety of different platforms, including we started a new Facebook page at Grand County Department of Human Services, and we're providing all kinds of information to parents to try to help them kind of survive these days at home with their kids and give them some additional tools and resources to manage their own stress levels while they're at home with their kids 24/7.
Yes, the dynamics of staying locked in with your kids and your spouse all of a sudden have got to cause some stress with families. And if people want to check out that Grand County Department of Human Services Facebook page, do they just look for Grand County Department of Human Services?
That's exactly what they look for.
And yeah. On that page, will they find the resources available, like the phone numbers that you've described and things like that?
Yes. They will find that information. They'll find that information on how to apply for food assistance, which the acronym for the food assistance program, it's SNAP, or Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And so they'll see links to that. They'll see links to the Colorado Department of Human Services page, where there's all kinds of resources. And we've been trying to post things as they come through our emails and other means to both the Grand County Department of Human Services page and then through the the incident management team at the county. They have their different websites through public health, and we are trying to get all that information kind of across the board. So our public health has it, we have it, maybe emergency management has some of those same links so that people are all kind of seeing that information in a variety of different places.
Deb Ruttenberg is the Human Services Director for Grand and Jackson Counties. Deb, it seems like you've got a lot of balls in the air and you're juggling a lot of things. How do you coordinate with the Grand County COVID-19 response team? And is there a similar response team in Jackson County that you're working with as well?
There isn't a similar response team in the structure that we've got here in Grand County, in Jackson County. It's much smaller. Currently, they still don't have any cases, and they do a lot of their stuff through Route County. And so it is not the same up there, although our response is the same to all of the folks in Jackson County. So anyone in Jackson County who has any of these issues, still, they know at this point, because we've been doing this process with them for the last, I think it's been about a year and a half at this point. So everyone is aware of that up in Jackson County, how to be in touch with us. In terms of coordination with our own emergency response teams here in Greene County, I sit on the community mitigation branch, and we coordinate with Greene County Rural Health, Grand Beginnings, Grand Foundation, Mountain Family Center. I think those are the main people. I hope I didn't forget anybody. And we are coordinating all of these resources, trying to make sure that nothing falls through the crack, that people who need food are getting food, whether that's through Mountain Family Center's food pantries, through the outbreak of kindness volunteers delivering food. We've helped coordinate stuff with the schools and make sure we get that information out there for kids who are, hungry during the day, and parents who are struggling financially. And then that food has been distributed through the schools and their teams there. And we are coordinated with Grand Beginnings around the child care piece. I know the child care aspect is very concerning for everyone right now as things start opening up, and yet our kids are still at home because the schools are not opening. And what does that look like? So trying to provide support for parents in that regard. Grand Beginnings is doing a great job working with the child care providers and trying to get people to get the appropriate protective measures in place so that centers can reopen, but it's all going to just be a slow process.
There's been so much transition, especially in your department, 17 employees. How are people holding up, and how has that transition been? Are you used to working with a bunch of people in your office where you can just go boom, 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 or are you used to working with people in the field all over the place?
I am. My child protection and adult protection workers, they actually work in a building next door, and I'm used to not seeing them quite as much because they're out in the field more. I am used to being surrounded by people in our main office. And so it is very interesting here in our office these days. We have a couple of people who come in and out. Like I said, we have someone here every day in the afternoon who is mailing out those food assistance cards. They're called EBT cards, mailing out those cards to people if they aren't cards that we can automatically issue through the state. We have to snail mail them. We get those kinds of things done. So I would say at this point, 85% of my employees are working remotely. And so, yes, that was quite a challenge trying to get everybody set up to be able to work remotely, getting everyone cell phones that are work cell phones, because we just haven't had that for the people who normally come into the office. So it's been an adjustment. Everyone is hanging in there, and I just have the best staff who has just really stepped up to the plate to try to help people as much as possible. Steve, I want to get back to one thing when I was talking about my caseload, just so people are aware and how busy we are, because on our voicemail, I say, please be patient with us. And I really mean that. We, in the first 6 months of 2019, so from January through June, we received 127 food assistance applications in a 6 month time frame. In the past 6 weeks, we have received 124. So that's how huge of an increase we've had in our caseload. So my staff is working fast and furiously to the best of their abilities with these additional kind of restrictions and barriers and things like that to make sure we are providing what our Grand and Jackson County citizens need the most. But we do have, a backlog because we are getting so many more applications than we are staffed for.
I'm just curious, Deb, preparing for something like this, did you spend time in the past couple of years or whatever? Is there always some kind of plan to ramp things up in case something like this happens? Or if not, you probably will think about that in the future, I would assume.
Yes. Yeah, we'll definitely be thinking about this in the future. And it's really difficult. I'll be completely honest. It's very difficult because the staff in particular who process all of our benefits, the food assistance, Medicaid, Colorado Works, those applications, that staff, it takes a good year of ongoing training provided by the state and over-shoulder support by the supervisor to get people up to the capacity that they are, you know, able to bang out applications at a relatively fast rate. And we've had some staff turnover in the last year, that so we've got some newer folks, and it is just really hard. It's just a constant struggle to maintain levels of staffing and capacity within that staffing to meet the needs. It's a really difficult job that they do. Everyone in my office, it's a very, very difficult job to do, and they do it to the best of their abilities. People are not always happy because everyone doesn't always get what they would like to get. Everyone is not always eligible. And so we have to deliver bad news. And, you know, that's just, it's difficult on both ends to hear the bad news and to be the bearer of the bad news.
Deb, it could be said that your employees, your staff are kind of unsung heroes when they have to go through those kinds of things, like rejecting somebody or not having everything go the way they want. Hopefully they understand that they're doing really meaningful work and that it's very important to the community what they are doing, regardless of the fact that they don't always have things go their way, right?
I think so. I would. They're my heroes, you know, just on a variety of levels. They're my heroes. You know, this department would be nothing without those folks. And I guess the other thing I want to say is that everything that we do in our office is really mandated by the state. And the process by which we do it is mandated by the state. So they have specific rules and regulations on what needs to happen for us to get the information that we need to put into a state system that then spits back whether or not someone is eligible for a particular benefit or not. And so it is not the staff themselves who are making these kind of arbitrary decisions that I think some folks might feel our staff is making. It's the state system that basically determines whether or not someone's eligible. And all we do is take the information that we get from folks and put it into this state system and then work within that state system to determine someone's eligibility. And so, you know, we are the bearer of bad news at times, and it's really, it's not us making a decision on that. It's the systems within the state that are making those decisions. So
yeah, you don't make the rules, you just enforce them.
Exactly.
I understand that, Deb. And Deb Ruttenberg, Human Services Director for Grand and Jackson County, what do you need? If you could wave a magic wand and get what you need right now, what would that be? It's magic. Remember, it's magic.
Oh, it's magic. I guess I would say that I would get patience from the community members, and I would be able to provide everyone with what they need to survive during this time in particular, as well as just the after we get through COVID and our world is changing daily, it seems. And I would like everyone to have what they need to survive, to be able to provide for their kids, to be able to have the resources that a parent needs to make positive parenting decisions and supportive decisions for their kids and for our adults in the community.
Deb, that was an extremely diplomatic answer. I really think that was a good answer.
Thanks.
Is there anything
Keep
else
going.
You'd like to add this morning with our listeners, Deb?
There are a couple, just a couple of things. I know that some people who already have food assistance benefits, they might be wondering why they have more on their, they're called EBT cards, electronic benefits. Oh my gosh, now I forgot the T. EBT cards, I'm sorry. EBT cards, they might have more money than they're used to. So if someone is used to getting, say, they're a single person and they're used to getting maybe $100 a month on their EBT card, and all of a sudden this month they got $194. Well, that's the maximum benefit that a single person can have on their EBT card. And that money is coming through the federal support. And so for the next, I think through May 31st, it might get extended, but I think it's through May 31st at this point, that people will get the maximum benefit, even though they're not used to that. They will get the maximum benefit based on the number of people in their family. So feel free to go ahead and use that. Sometimes people are afraid they're going to get what's called a claim, and then we will ask them to pay that money back. That's not the case with this. Feel free to spend that money. It's federal government response. We don't do unemployment here at our office. That is through the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment. So please don't call our office asking about unemployment or applying for it, because we don't do that here. There is a resource for people who have lost their jobs due to COVID. It's called onwardco.org, and that's come out from the governor's office. So there's a bunch of resources on there. I would encourage people to continue to pay their child support, but don't try to send us checks. Send them to the family support registry. People who pay child support are aware of that, but that's just a little reminder. And we are doing what we can to continue to help support our child care centers by paying for absences for kids if they are on the child care assistance program. We are continuing to do that. And that is our hope, that when this is over and people can start going back to child care centers, we have done what we can to help support those centers so that they can remain open and not close their doors permanently because of the lack of funding stream in the last month and a half. And again, I would just say, go to the Human Services webpage on the county site, or there's another resource, healthygrandcounty.org, and there's a bunch of resources on there. I would say to people, be patient, stay strong. We are here to help as much as we possibly can. I just got a little prompt from one of my employees who's listening. It's the electronic benefits transfer. T
okay.
is the transfer. That's an EBT card.
Great, great. Thanks for that. And I just want to remind people, if you do want to find Human Services, you can go to co.grand.co.us. You can also find them on Facebook. Just look for Grand County Department of Human Services. And if you'd give that number one more time for your office, that'd be great, Deb.
970-725-3331.
That is Deb Ruttenberg. She is the Human Services Director for Grand and Jackson Counties. Thank you so much for taking that time. You're obviously a very busy person, and we really appreciate all you're doing for Grand and Jackson Counties. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care.